News Talk's Executive Chair.
Thanks to Skillnet Ireland, driving business success through innovative training and upskilling.
And I'm delighted to welcome, from a very sunny Barbados, to the Executive Chair, David Campion. He's the founder of Argo. David, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks for having me, Bobby.
Now, me saying that you're in sunny Barbados isn't a joke. So how sunny is it over there at the moment?
Oh, it's a nice day here. It's noon at the moment, so we're at 30 degrees at the moment.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, there you go. So, and we'll come back to how you ended up in Barbados in a minute, David, but I want to bring you back to Beaumont, if I can. You were one of seven children. Your father was a building contractor, so you understood, I suppose, how building sites worked from a very early age.
Yeah, I mean, it was no fun at the time, but from the age of 12 or 13, myself and the brothers were dragged out of bed on Saturday mornings and onto building sites to labour for bricklayers and plasterers and carpenters. So great experience as it would turn out. But I suppose when you're summer holidays, all your mates are playing football and you're dragged off for a full day's work every day, 5-6 days a week. It can be a bit disheartening when you're that young, but obviously the experience was invaluable, appreciating the trades and the construction industry.
Yeah. You qualified as an architect and you found yourself then in San Francisco for, what, nearly 5 years. What was that like?
Yeah, well, my degree is actually architectural technology.
Yeah.
So when I graduated, I suppose, like everybody does when they've had their fill of college, and it's always a massive push towards graduation. And I wanted to change the scene, headed to San Francisco, and managed to get some great work experience with a firm who specialised in seismic upgrade and earthquake proofing blocks of apartments, redesigning. So that worked with Murphy Engineering for about 3 years. Whilst working in an Irish bar at night. So great experience for 3 years.
Great. You came back then to Ireland. What did you, or was what was the progress then after that, after San Francisco? You were with Murray O'Leary Architects for what, nearly 10 years? Tell us about that.
That's right, Bobby, yeah. So when I came back and wanted to sort of show myself into an architectural practice in Dublin, I had done some work experience with Murray O'Leary, which was part of falling in love with architecture at a young age. They were the first practice of choice, really, for interview. And they took me on and, I became an associate director after a few years and got to work with some great people on some really exciting projects, Dublin Airport Terminal 1, Belvedere College, Dartry Student Accommodation, and out into Kildare, into Carton House Hotel. So incredible experience. And then after 10 years, things were getting very difficult, but Murray O'Leary had actually secured a nice project in the island of St. Vincent in the Caribbean. And I managed to win out to head up that office.
It all sounds very Celtic Tiger-ish, and it kind of was, I think, because Murray O'Leary then went into liquidation, I think, and you were probably still out in Barbados at the time, and someone tells me that you were, that the whole country knew before you did.
Yeah, it was quite daunting at the time, because I was in a meeting on that very project in St. Vincent, and got a couple of missed calls from my wife. But eventually, when I returned the call, she'd heard from a friend of hers that on the RTE noon news that Murray O'Leary had gone into liquidation, like so many other practices at the time, because of the global downturn. It was time to react or pack your bags and go home.
And you decided then to continue on out in the Caribbean in Barbados. You have an office now in Dominica, St. Vincent, the Grenadines. Like, tell me about that world, that Caribbean world, and how you can establish yourself out there as an architect and build, you know, which is a significant business that you've built in Argo.
Sure, Bobby. Well, I suppose it's important to to convince yourself that there is a market for your brand or this new identity. And so for me, the market was in digital construction, which is the future of the industry, future of architecture and construction globally, and specifically the Caribbean, which was a little further behind than we were back in Ireland in digital construction. So I just identified that if we could introduce digital construction, which is basically transforming buildings from design into three-dimensional models, therefore creating a digital twin of a building, allowing for a more intelligent analysis of its performance, particularly relevant at the Caribbean, where you have hurricanes coming at you seasonally, then that was going to be the cornerstone of the push for this brand, which I named Argo. We obviously, when we set up our office in Dublin, it gave us a competitive advantage because of the five-hour difference between Barbados and Dublin. It allowed us to offer clients a 15, 16-hour day, depending on, I suppose, how late the Barbados office works. So there were some of our USPs and some of a couple of angles that allowed us to launch into the market successfully.
And just to ask you about digital architecture and construction that you mentioned there, does that mean that it's for non-architects or non-technical people that they're able to evaluate and see, you know, what the end product is going to be like much easier than looking at a flat drawing? Is that really the difference between it and traditional architecture?
Well, that's one way of describing it, Bobby. But maybe
obviously I've described it badly.
Step back. That's okay. It makes an architect a better architect. Makes a QS a better QS because they're informed with better a three dimensional model that allows them to more intelligently analyze performance, material selection, the operation of the building post-opening, and then right down to energy performance and, sustainability. So it's just a progression. It's not going to replace any of the disciplines that are traditionally involved in architecture and construction. It's just going to make them better at what they do. It's going to reduce cost by 20%. It's going to make sites safer. And it's going to allow us to deliver buildings in a more sophisticated way, quicker.
Okay. And tell me this then, David, about developing the business then right out across the Caribbean. How do you do that? I know a lot of, in traditional construction and architecture, I suppose your last job is your best reference. Is it the same over there?
Well, I suppose it is, particularly when you're building a brand and you've gone from one office to five offices and project offices around the Caribbean. You've got to really protect the work that you're doing. You've got to be true to, what is your approach to architecture? Our approach to architecture is about delivering architecture of its time, influenced by technology of its time. So we pitch to quite progressive-minded clients. And I suppose that energy helps us to deliver responses to briefs that clients really get excited about, helps us win awards, that brings recognition, that fuels the ambition of the brand. It attracts more talent and a more talented team, because we have a team of 43 at the moment, positioned in 10 different countries.
Yeah, working on 30 different projects. And I was going to ask you about that. Since the arrival of COVID-19, no international travel, what have you had to do to change and transform your business, I suppose, to keep in touch with your clients, your staff, your sites? All very challenging, I'd suggest.
Yeah, definitely, Bobby. And it forced us into a natural progression for us was we're already working on a digital platform and inter-office. But it forced, instead of relying on me to visit each island for face-to-face meetings with clients and inspections, it forced studio leaders in each territory to step up to become country managers and to represent Argo from the front because, of course, I was landlocked in Barbados. So that encouraged something that was already planned, sort of dragged it forward, which was a great thing for Argo. And, of course, great thing for me because it reduced the reliance on me to travel so much. Now, working in today's environment, we use all the digital platforms, particularly Google Suite. We create a digital project room for each of our projects. And it means that any one of our team can jump into this digital room, share an idea, critique a detail, seek my opinion, or where I can add value to a problem based on my experience in industry. So it can have advantages. Of course, the disadvantage is the days of attending a crit where people are throwing drawings on the table and, you know, sketching together. Those days have been, I suppose, put to the side for now. But it can be done equally as successfully in a digital environment.
Yeah. No, that's great. And how do you see that some of that will kind of stay with us, even if we tackle and crack COVID-19, that I suggest that business travel will be impacted for quite a few years, I'd suggest?
Yeah, I'd agree. So, you know, that structure of having strong Argo front men in each territory will continue. In fact, you know, the positive is that when travel does return mainstream, it'll actually allow me to move on to new territories that we're trying to break because the existing territories are being well managed by guys who are fronting our operation. But I think, you know, there will be, I'm looking forward to getting back traveling again because there's certainly no comparison to walking into one of your studios internationally, sensing the energy of the team in the room, attending site visits and inspections to projects we're designing in different countries and, you know, walking that project with the client. There's obviously no that's always going to be second place to real visits. So it will be a slow pickup of international travel, but I'm looking forward to it. I think we'll always have the studio environment as part of our DNA. I think it's very important to us. But it might be that people are attending studio once or twice a week rather than every day.
Two other quick things I wanted to just ask you, David. You have an FAI coaching badge, and how did you get that? How do you maintain that? And I also wanted to ask you about, you know, non-work life, I suppose, out there in the Caribbean. How is all that?
Yeah, well, listen, the FAI, quite modest start in program in junior soccer, really, a pathway to the next badge. But it was a good start. I loved my soccer when I was growing up. And, you know, as I said, I fancied myself as a player. But when your manager says to you, you know, Campo, your first touch is so bad that your second touch is nearly almost a tackle, you know that you don't have a profession ahead of you in soccer. But, no, listen, when it comes time to being able to throw on flip-flops and shorts, I mean, there's no better place than a beach in Barbados with the family. I do like to play a bit of golf whenever I can. It's nice Saturday mornings by the side of the pitch watching my younger sons move their way through the footballing ranks. So, it has its moments. Now, listen, on a bad day, you're going from a 12, 14-hour day in the office into an air-conditioned car, home to a house, and it's already dark. Yeah. It gets dark in the Caribbean quite early, around 6:30. You know, kids have already gone to bed. So on a bad day, you could be anywhere else in the world, Bobby.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, it's a real pleasure to talk to you, David, and it sounds like a fascinating business and indeed fascinating lifestyle. David Campion, the founder of Argo, thanks very much for joining us today from Barbados.
Thanks very much for having me, Bobby.
Good man.
News Talk's Executive Chair.
Thanks to Skillnet Ireland, driving business success through innovative training and upskilling.